You're listening to Mountain Coast Vineyard. We are a community of people seeking to grow our life in Jesus Christ. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the message.
So you ever have one of those days when you're just upset and irritated and grumpy? Or is it just me? Okay. And then the day ends, and you go to bed, and you get up the next morning, and you're still grumpy about it. So I had one of those days, a few weeks ago, and one of those next days, and I got up, and I was still just upset. And I got up, I went downstairs, I was the only one up, so I had downstairs of the house to myself, and I just started grumbling to God. And I say it that way on purpose. I don't really feel like I was praying. I was grumbling. And I was, and God started to work in me. And how quickly he took me from, woe is me, to, whoa, it's you, God. Okay. You got my attention. And that morning, as I was grumbling and upset and, well, let's be honest, kind of whiny, God told me to get over it and send me in a different direction and reminded me of a pretty important truth. And so as we conclude our series on the kingdom of love today, I want to share that with you. And that truth is that Jesus loved by serving people. The scriptures, of course, are full of examples of this. You know, Jesus did all sorts of miracles. You know, it started with turning water into wine, which is a really cool trick. But it's more than that. He served. There was a need. They ran out of wine at the wedding. And he served. He made something happen and took care of the need. And he did all sorts of other miracles. He healed the lame. He restored sight to the blind. He even raised the dead. He served these people where they were at and what they needed. And then there was the time that there wasn't enough food to go around. And he served. And he directed his disciples to serve and go take the baskets of fish and the baskets of bread, and there was food and food and food. And then do you remember that time that he washed the disciples' feet? I mean, you want to talk about humble service in a day and time and location where people walk everywhere in the desert in sandals? And he got down and washed their dirty feet. And then there was that last evening that he spent with the disciples. And he served them that last meal, and he broke the bread and gave it to them. Jesus served, or Jesus loved by serving others. Jesus' view of the world is so different than our view in our modern culture. And I want to kind of draw that contrast a couple of ways today. But you know, in our culture, in our society today, we like to say we live in a free country. And come to my government class at Diamond High School and tell you why I don't think that's true. But we say that. We live in a free country and, you know, do what you want and do what makes you feel good and do what makes you happy and, you know, get yours. But that's not how the kingdom of God operates. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. It's upside down from the world's view of things. Jesus said, many who are first and many who are last will be first. It's backwards. He said, if you want to be perfect, and who doesn't want to be perfect? I mean, maybe we've given up on that goal for right now, but someday in eternity. But if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And granted, that's a tall order. But for Jesus, perfection is not having everybody else follow you around and do everything for you. No, perfection is giving it all away and serving the people around you. And then he says, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's not about being in front. It's not about being in the spotlight. It's about taking the humble position. That's what makes you first in his kingdom. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. This is all so countercultural to us. And yet, here we are. We want to live in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Are you seeing a pattern here? It's the opposite of what the world tells us. And lastly, and we'll kind of camp on this one for a little bit, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your, what? Your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. That's a powerful statement. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we are truly disciples of Christ, if we are followers of Christ, then what do we want to do? We want to be like Christ. I mean, Bruce said it already, right? How many of us are praying, make us more like you, Jesus? That's what this Christian life is all about. And if we want to be like Christ, well, that's what he did. He did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus loved by serving others. Every year, I take my student government class to Providence Transition Care Center, which is over on the other side of town, and they have several dozen patients there who spend weeks or months there in long-term care, and a lot of them are suffering from terminal or very serious long-term conditions. And my students go, and we serve Thanksgiving dinner to the residents there. And it's really a just phenomenal thing to watch as these 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old students serve this meal to people who are 60, 70, 80 years old, and you know, many of them in their final weeks or months of life. And they're so different. A 17-year-old and a 70-year-old, they're so different. And it's always funny, and I've done this many times now, it always strikes me that the students get there and they all kind of, just kind of, they're unsure. They kind of hang back. Well, the ones that have done it a few times, who have been in my class for multiple years, not so much. But then, you know, the ones when it's their first time, they kind of hang back because they're just not sure how to engage here. And, you know, I push them a little bit, get them outside their comfort zone, and they get the food and they take it and they sit down next to one of these patients and share a meal. And the conversation starts. And by the time we get to the end of the evening, they don't want to leave because they've connected and they've started sharing stories with each other and finding that they have more in common than they would realize. And it's always something that my students look forward to year after year after year if they come back, that they want to go, when is that? We want to get it on the calendar. It's one of their favorite things to do. And it strikes me that what's happening here is that there's love shared between these two, between the students and the residents there. It's not a one-way thing either. When you serve, you open up your heart and you pour out love to somebody, and the joy that comes back in and of itself is something to be praising God for. But here these students are going and doing this, and they're not doing it because they're trying to, you know, be more like Christ. I mean, maybe some of them, that's their internal motivation, but that's not what it's about on the surface. But that's really what's going on, even if they don't realize it. They're experiencing love. And so my prayer is that when we do that here in another month and a half, that that love will bubble up in them and they'll go seeking after God. Pray with me about that, okay? But here I see that God is love, and when we serve, we unlock that love. And so let's follow Jesus' example. Let's love others. Our society does have some value for this. You know, when people engage in big acts of heroism or, big things. You know, I think of Oprah, right? You know, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car, right? There's some value for that, and that's exciting, and people, talk about that and tell those stories. But it doesn't have to be that huge thing. It's the heart behind it. It's the giving. It's the serving. It's the laying down your life, giving of what you have, that unlocks that door and allows love to pass from you to somebody else. But I want to caution you here, because, I think, take Oprah, here's a car. Cool. Now, does Oprah expect anything in return? No. This is just like, hey, she wants to do something cool. She's got a bunch of, resources, so she's sharing. Okay. Now, if you go to Kendall Toyota, will they give you a car? Well, yes, they will. But they expect something in exchange, a bunch of money, right? Okay. So two different things. There's the giving just generously, and there's the transaction, okay? And when we talk about serving others, we have to check our heart, okay? So let me ask you, do you serve your spouse? Do you do it out of love or because you're trying to get something in return? Do you serve your kids? Not because you're trying to spoil them, but because you want to love them and because you want to set an example for them of what it looks like to serve and love people. Do you serve your neighbor? And define neighbor however you want to. Maybe the person lives next door, maybe your coworker, maybe that person in the Fred Meyer parking lot who just cut you off, and then when you get inside, there's one cart left and you're ahead of them and you're going to get it and get your revenge and you're like, you know what? Here, have this cart. That's love. That's a small act of love. That's serving them. And I think that's what we're called to do. It's all about the heart. Yeah? Maybe. There we go. Oh, I skipped that. Well, we'll put it in here. That's fine. So Jesus said in Matthew 6, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by men or seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. If it's just a transaction, if you're doing it to be noticed, to get praised, to be thanked, to, get your name on a plaque on a wall or something, well, that's your reward. You've already got it. You have nothing from God. But if you do it just out of love, you serve, you show love, you keep showing love, and you move on, then your reward in heaven is waiting for you. It's all about your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters. When you serve, serve diligently, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. When we serve others, we're really serving God. When we love others, we're loving God and we're following an example that was set for us. And so that heart behind your service is of the utmost importance. So what do you want? Is it the things of this world? Things that rust, that decay, that break, that wear out, that fall apart? Or is it the things of heaven that are eternal and that are perfect because God made them? I don't know about you, but I want to fix my eyes on those eternal rewards. I want to serve God by loving the people that he put around me. I think that's the hope of the gospel, and that's the path that Jesus lays before us. But I got to say, stop overcomplicating things. I mean, sure, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. That'd be great if you can just go out and give people cars and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Here's a car. Cool. Okay, don't get me wrong. Do that if you can. But for most of us, that's not our reality, is it? So look for the everyday, the day-to-day little thing. The here, take the shopping cart. The opening the door for somebody because they have their arms full of groceries because they forgot to bring their reusable bags to the store. I went in the store a week ago, and I was only getting two things, so I didn't bring a bag in because I knew I was only getting two things. Well, 12 things later. That was my moment. But don't overcomplicate it. If you open the door for somebody, gosh, you can make a difference in their day. That's showing them love. If you can stop and pray for somebody in a moment, that's showing them love. If you can, whatever it is, look for those things. It's the day-to-day. We talk a lot around here about the naturally supernatural. It doesn't have to be some big, huge display. It's in the day-to-day. Or as I heard it called recently on a podcast I was listening to, it's the sacred mundane. Think about that for a minute. The sacred mundane. You know, God calls us to live life 24/7. Not, hey, once in a while, go have a big, huge moment. I mean, sometimes those things happen, but it shouldn't be the living from big moment and then nothing, and then the next big moment. No, it should be the day-to-day, the encouraging word to the person around you, the looking for those needs and filling them when you see them. A few weeks ago, I was driving, and sometimes when I'm driving, I like to pray because it's a good time to just by myself in the car. I've got nothing else to do. So, and I was asking God, hey, what's next? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And I was on my way to somebody's house to pick something up, and I just had this overwhelming bubbling up inside of me of pray for these people. Now, I love to pray. I love my time with God. But usually that's me and God. And praying over somebody is not something that I see as like one of my big giftings. Apparently God sees it differently sometimes. I'm not God. I acknowledge that. And it's like, pray for them. God, that makes me uncomfortable. Pray for them. And I did. And just offering to do that, just seeing the look on their face was so encouraging to me. I went, okay, this is the right thing to do. And I did it. And, I took a step. Okay. I took a step. And you got to do that. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is it today that you want me to do? And you might not get an answer right away, but when that answer all of a sudden pops up right in front of you, guys, you got to do it. I read this, I want to share a passage with you by this is Priscilla Schreier in her book Gideon. She says, God often comes to us in our boring days, veiled in the most ordinary of circumstances. In fact, ordinary is often the disguise of the divine. If we're constantly anticipating a grandiose event to accompany the times when we encounter him or hear his voice, we will miss out on many intimate moments in our relationship with God. The mundane, the routine, the commonplace, these are often the contexts in which he will reveal himself to humanity. Look for those day-to-day mundane moments and serve the people around you when you see them. We've talked a lot over the last several weeks during this series on the Kingdom of Love about the gifts that God puts in us to use to love others. And so I want to remind you of a few of those things. So we have different gifts, Paul tells us in the book of Romans. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Look at the people next to you and recognize that their gift and your gift is different. And my gift and your gift is different. And that's cool. And that's God's plan. Because we're the body of Christ. And God wants us to do all kinds of things. And so when you look and you're like, oh, well, somebody else is doing that, and somebody's doing that, and I don't know where I fit. Well, hey, ask God. He's got the answer. And then listen. And when he says, go pray for them, go pray for them. When you get the answer, don't say, well, that's not my gift. Because who gives us the gifts? God. And you may get a gift today that you're supposed to go share with somebody. You're supposed to go serve them with this. Don't let it sit on the shelf. Go do that. And here in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so while our gifts look differently, and the opportunities that we're going to be presented with will vary, it's the same Spirit at work in us. It's the same God giving us these gifts. So keep asking, Holy Spirit, what is it I'm supposed to do? What is the gift you've put in me? And one more here. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It doesn't matter how large or small in the eyes of the world that act of service is. If you are doing the will of God, if you're serving with the gift God's placed in you, then at the end, he can say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I think that's what we all are hoping for someday and working towards. What matters is the heart that you have, that you're serving, that you're loving. And just start where you are. About 20 years ago, I met a girl. And we fell in love. And we were going to get married. And as we talked through things and prepared for marriage, I realized that something needed to change because we went to two different churches. And it wasn't that we disagreed on doctrine or theology or anything like that. It was just that we were going different places. And it seemed like if we were going to build our life together, it would be best if our spiritual lives were part of that too. And so, you know, I was going to the church I'd grown up in, and she was going to this church called the Anchorage Vineyard. Some of you have been there back in the day. And prayed about it, talked about it, and eventually I joined her over there. And, you know, I was looking for my place. I was looking for where I fit. And I just had this, like, kind of nagging thing in the back of my head saying, teach the youth. Now, at the time, I'm going to school, you know, I'm in college, I'm working towards my degree so I can become a teacher. I'm like, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm getting there. No, teach the youth. Yeah, I've got, you know, about 3 more years and then I'll have my degree and I'll be able to teach. Yeah, no, teach the youth. Huh? And I said, well, maybe this is about more than just school. Maybe this is about youth ministry. Okay. And so I kind of checked that out a little bit and thought, well, maybe I can help out here or there. And so I started, you know, going to the youth ministry, evenings and things and helping out a little bit, you know, chaperoning at the lock-in. That was a night, wasn't it? Yeah. And still teach the youth. I'm there, you know. Well, maybe I need to be doing more. And so I started hosting a Bible study for young men in my house, in our tiny little apartment. And okay, that was good. And before I knew it, hey, why don't you preach? Now, this isn't something I never really thought I was going to do. Okay, maybe I could do that once. And once turned into twice, and twice turned into every Saturday night in the youth service I was preaching. Teach the youth. Oh, I get it now. Now, I never had any thought that I'd be standing in front of a congregation of people and teaching the adults too. God does some funny things. God puts gifts in us, and sometimes he's working towards some things. And, here I am. Never thought I'd be here. So my encouragement to you, as Dan said last week, start where you are. You got to start somewhere. So start where you are and let God take you where he wants you to go. You know, one of the Vineyard distinctives is come as you are. But you know, the other half of that is, but don't stay there. So ask God what you can do now and see where he takes you. See where he takes you to serve others. So, I'm not ready for this. As we bring our series on the kingdom of love to a close, I want to take us back to this idea of modern culture and the kingdom. You know, in our modern American society, we're known as being a free country, but even more than that, we're known for democracy, and we're known for rights, and in order to have that society, the government teacher coming out of me for a minute, in order to have that kind of society, people have to engage. In order to have a successful democracy, you need people to vote, and you need people to speak up and express themselves, and you need people to, you know, engage in all the different types of civic activity. You know, we need people to go serve on juries, and we need people to pay their taxes. And I know it's not fun, but we need it, right? We need those things. It takes that to be successful as a society and as a democracy. Well, I think we can learn something about the kingdom of God from that. Because the kingdom of God also requires something of its citizens. In order to be a kingdom of love, we need people to carry out their civic duty in the kingdom of God. And what is that? Well, it's to love God. And it's to love our neighbor. And it's to serve the people that God put around us. Those are our civic responsibilities in the kingdom of God. And that's what makes it a kingdom of love. If you think back to the beginning of this series, we spent some time in 1 Corinthians 13. Back when was that? May? Okay. It's been a while back. And a lot of us, you know, memorized 1 Corinthians 13. And something that continues to resonate with me here is, you know, you can have all of these gifts, right? You can have, you know, you can speak in tongues. You can prophesy. You can, give up you have to the poor. You can give up your body to be destroyed, all of those things. But if you don't have love, you're a clanging gong, noisy cymbal. You have nothing. You are nothing. You gain nothing without love. So you can go and serve and do nice things for people, but if it doesn't have love behind it, if it's not for God's kingdom, you gain nothing. So take time to get your heart in the right place and to go serve people with love. And in doing so, that's how we advance the kingdom. And that's how doors open so we can share the gospel. And that's how we can share God's love with the world and bring the world to God. Because I think that's what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, I'm going to go backwards here. So, a couple things Jesus said. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. And again, if anyone gives even a cup of water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person certainly will not lose their reward. Again, start where you're at. It can be as simple as a cup of water. The smallest gesture done in love can change somebody's day, can change somebody's life, can change somebody's eternity. And that's the gospel message. So we've been saved into citizenship in the kingdom of love, God's kingdom. Which means we're joint heirs with Christ. We're God's kids. Recognize that? We're God's kids. We weren't adopted, though, to sit around the house. And so if we want to know what we're supposed to do as God's children, as sons and daughters of God, we should look to our brother. We should look to the Son of God. We should look to Jesus and see, how does he do it? What are we supposed to do? What's our role in this family as a child of God? And we have that perfect example. And what did he do? Jesus loved by serving others. So that's what we're supposed to do. Jesus came to earth. He served. He continues to show us his love. He came to serve and not be served. And so my challenge to you this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we be serving, not sitting. Don't sit around the house. Get up and go serve. And with that, I'm going to ask you to not be sitting and to stand with me. Because we were made to love in this kingdom. Yeah. And so we're going to finish our series on the kingdom of love one last time. Here you go, the whole song. Because we were made to love.